The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Cup is in full swing, and joining us to look back at the weekend and I suppose what we can expect for later today is David Sned, a football journalist at the 42.ie. David, I know you're talking to us from outside the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, Georgia, and we'll come to the match there, Spain versus Cape Verde, in a moment. But let's have a quick recap of the weekend. Yesterday, day four of the tournament, 19 goals. It's the most on a single day in a World Cup final since 1962. Is that necessarily a good thing, or is it a sign of too many one-sided games?
Well, that's actually one of the topics, because wasn't it the president of UEFA came out and made that point? And I was actually at the Cape Verde press conference in Atlanta yesterday before this game with Spain. And in a way, this game kind of sums up what this World Cup is. You know, you've got Spain, a superpower of world football, against Cape Verde, who are making their debut. And Cape Verde, along with Haiti and along with Uzbekistan and others, signed the letter, kind of saying, well, this is not like, because the president said, or of UEFA, that it was going to be a lot of uninteresting games. But from being on the ground and my experience being in Mexico so far and Atlanta for the last few days, and just the number of fans, and I don't know if you'd hear some of them there, like, there was a lot of fear coming into this World Cup about what it could be, you know, about what, you know, the current climate in America and all the rest of it. But I think one thing that maybe was overlooked is just the fact that most of the world is already in America, because the history of America is giving people opportunity. It's people coming to this country and trying to make that better life for themselves. And that's something that's come true from when I've been on the ground here, from speaking to different people, pretty much all of whom haven't travelled from their own countries, but have been living here for a number of years. And so far, it's been an absolute joy. It really has. It's been absolutely fantastic. So,
I suppose there's probably two ways of looking at it, David. Like the yesterday, I mean, it was magic when Curaçao got the equaliser, and to see the joy on the faces of their fans who travelled from this tiny island in the Dutch Caribbean. I suppose the counter argument is, though, it was 7-1 for Germany in the end, and it was really, really one sided and not that interesting as a football game.
Yeah, and you know what? I'll counter myself, as someone who's covered the Republic of Ireland for the last 20 years. I'd take getting beaten 7-1 at a World Cup if it meant Ireland getting there. You know what I mean?
Okay, fair, like, fair enough.
The World Cup is the World Cup. I know it's getting expanded. Like, how boring would it be if we came here all the time and it's the same teams, and it's, yeah, the quality of football. Like, I'm coming here to this game in for Spain, and like, as an Irishman, I'm just so proud to see Pico Lopez play for Cape Verde. But as a football supporter, I want to see, obviously, Lamine Yamal. As a football fan, I always want to see, and as a football journalist, I always want to see those kind of different stories. The fact that, like, yeah, you want to see the great players and you want to see what they can do technically and the magic of that. But like you mentioned as well with Curaçao, but that moment for them, and for their people and for kids, that'll be never forgotten.
No, true.
And we've had that moment growing up. I'm at an age, I'm nearly 38 years of age, and I can remember Robbie Keane scoring in a World Cup. That's my only really memory of Ireland at a World Cup, you know? And like, that's what the World Cup should be about. It's the latter stages when it gets to the knockouts, and that's when we'll see it coming through. Like, boy, I think there's still enough space in life and the World Cup for a little bit of enjoyment and those underdog stories.
Okay, just before we get to Spain, Cape Verde, worth mentioning Japan versus the Netherlands, probably the best game of the tournament so far.
Oh yeah, like, and you know what? Maybe it's one of the downsides, and I can't believe I've just said that. I've actually been at a World Cup and covering it, where I was on my way to a press conference and traveling. And
yeah,
you're getting kind of glimpses on TVs, and you're swarmed around TVs with other journalists, and then yeah, like the goal, the moment at the end when Japan equalised. And just, you kind of see the desolation on some of the Dutch, and you see what I meant, obviously, for Japan, because as well, like, they're coming into this, and I was kind of, normally it's Turkey who you say are the kind of the dark horses for the tournament, but you see what Japan could be capable of, and some of the football they're playing, they needed that result, because I kind of fancy them to maybe do something in the knockout stage.
Yeah, I think I definitely agree with that. Okay, so let's talk about potential giant killers, Cape Verde and Roberto Lopez up against Spain. Realistically, Cape Verde have no real chance here, have they?
No, listen, I put forward my argument a few moments ago about the magic and all the rest of it, and there is that, and it's going to be brilliant to see Kay Verde and Pico Lopez on that stage, but you just want to, you want to see them put in a strong performance. Like, managed to speak to him for a few minutes yesterday, and Pico was saying himself that this is definitely the strongest Cape Verde squad they've ever had in the 7 years that he's played for them, but they're going to need every ounce of it to try and get a result against Spain. Now, I think Lamine Yamal and Nico Williams are both fit, but are unlikely to start. But the depth of quality that, that Spain have, like, it's a long tournament. Maybe the hope is, will they maybe try to ease themselves into it and don't need to overexert themselves? Because, like, it was Bautista, the Cape Verde manager, was saying that they've identified where they could hurt Spain, possibly on transition, because they're going to have all the ball. But if it's going to be highly unlikely that Cape Verde could get anything out of this game. But the hope is that Pico Lopez and Cape Verde just kind of quit themselves in the manner they have done over the last few years, you know.
Welcome back to That's a Pepper Thing. First up, we've got Harrison wrapping his Dr. Pepper in a tiny quilt so it feels at home. Oh, how tender. That's a Pepper Thing. And over to Becca, who's whispering affirmations to her can.
You're sweet. You're unique. You're the best thing I ever poured over ice.
She swears it makes it taste better. It's not a science thing, but it's a Pepper Thing. Why do they all do it? All for that sweet, delicious, truly one-of-a-kind taste of Dr. Pepper. It's a Pepper Thing.
The days are longer, the calendar is filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grüns. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, so I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing, they're easy to toss in my bag on the go, plus they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA and FSA, eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grüns.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
Yeah, well, look, we wish Pico well in that game. Even for us non-Shamrock Rovers fans, he is, I think, one of the more most popular players in the league. He's a great fella, and he seems like a really, really good lad. So let's hope it goes well for them today. Of the other games, Annie talked Belgium versus Egypt, Saudi Arabia versus Uruguay, and then Iran making their debut against New Zealand at 2 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah, like obviously the Iran game is the one that's going to have a lot of eyes, and it's going to have obviously more than the newsy angles on it because of everything that's been going on. So like, that's probably one of the benefits as well of, obviously it's midday here where I am in Atlanta. So once I finish my work here, I'll be watching all those games throughout the day. And yeah, the Iran game, this is going to be like, it's like what I said at the very start about we're coming over here and everything that's happened. Like it's never happened before where we've been at a World Cup and a country that are currently in an active war with one of the host nations, and all the stuff that's going on about, you know, getting visas into the country and tickets getting revoked. Like, Iran are a good team. This is another thing that needs, it's like, Iran are a really good team and could actually be capable of doing something. And it's worth looking at. This could be an amazing scenario whereby on the 3rd of July, obviously the eve of Independence Day, the 250th birthday, Iran could play the United States.
Wow.
If they get through, I think if they both finish second in their respective groups, which is it's not an impossibility.
It's not, you know? Not the way the US started. So yeah, that would be something else. Quick word for the Asian teams, 10 points out of 12 so far, and for the Japanese fans who yet again showed how brilliant they are by cleaning the stadium before they left, after the 2-2 draw against the Netherlands.
Yeah, well, it's like sometimes you come to a country and you hear the stereotypes, the same with the Scotland fans. There's that stereotype, isn't there, with the Japan fans, where, and it was one of the points actually I was listening when I was watching Fox News, the coverage with Peter Schmeichel and Clarence Seedorf, and they did a whole segment on how the Japanese fans were cleaning the stadium. But again, I was like, they're a good team. Do you know what I mean? Like,
oh,
this,
really good team.
Like, do you know what I mean? And like, I think hopefully now that result, getting that result in the manner that they did, will hopefully give them a bit more of a springboard, because some of the football they played and watched over the last number of years, it's been electrifying, and you want to see them do that again on this stage, you know.
Okay, and fair play to the fans. That is a class act. Final question. Sweden last night. Do they potentially have the best strike force in the World Cup with Isak and Jokeres up front?
Do you know, like, The goals, by the way, were superb.
They were.
Isak got maybe a little bit fortunate. The goalkeeper really should have done better. But like sometimes, like the season that both of those players have had, if you look at, say, Gyökeres and Isak, like Gyökeres at times has been absolutely maligned with Arsenal people, slaying them. And yeah, he persevered. He got some big goals for Arsenal as the season went on in his first year in the Premier League. And then Isak, obviously, his injuries with Liverpool and the transfer fee that he got from Newcastle. But the two of them were just so sharp right from the off, Sweden as a whole. And I wasn't really expecting that from Sweden. Like they only qualified for the World Cup basically on the basis of getting a playoff to the Nations League. Their actual World Cup qualifying campaign was a disaster, you know. And then obviously they got rid of the manager. He brought in Graham Parr. I talked there about with the time difference and stuff here. Like at one point when I was in Mexico City, I remember waking up at about 2:30 in the morning, just body clock, absolutely gone. And I just checked my phone and I saw a video of Graham Parr coming out in a big cowboy hat in Texas, looking like, and I was like, is this some sort of fever dream I'm having? And I'm like, what is this fella doing? But like the way he's got them playing, I'd say I don't think he should be taking that cowboy hat off because they're absolutely flying. And like this tournament, maybe sometimes I kind of feel it should be a slow burner because it is going to be so long. But for a team like Sweden, who have the history of form of getting into that knockout stage, if they can keep that momentum with those two lads up top, they're going to be a handful for everyone. And there's always going to be those games where it's tight. And if they have them there, they're going to be the difference, you know?
Yeah, well, every World Cup does produce a surprise semi-finalist. David, thanks indeed for talking to us. Enjoy Spain versus Cape Verde, which is starting in about a half an hour. We'll keep you posted on how that game is going. David Sinead, a football journalist at the42.ie. Thank you indeed for talking to The Hard Shoulder.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman. With Kia. Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.